My name is Joel Vanderskell. I think most of you guys know me by now, but just in case you didn't, there you go. One of the pastors here at New Life. And this past fall, this past September, I just got back from an extended sabbatical time that my co-pastors had given me, and really our staff team in general, because it takes a lot of effort to send one of our pastors out for a chunk of time. It's a lot of weight that other people are carrying. So my job in that time essentially was to stop doing the things that I normally do and to sit at Jesus' feet. And I did that as best I could, and it was amazing. And at the end of that time, near the end of that time, what we universally decided, all of us as pastors, is that we probably needed to change the nature of what I do as a pastor at the church. So we made that change. And so instead of me managing the operations of the church, I'm now working pretty much exclusively with our city ministry. Couple of little exceptions here and there. And Jay and I both, as pastors of the church, have oversight over the entire church. I mean, this is our focus from a day-to-day standpoint is our city ministry, but we have governance authority of the entire church. So there are some times when we're spending time talking about Mackinac LT and other things like that that don't pertain too much to what we're sharing at a summit time, but most of our job is focused there. So it's kind of a big change for us. It's the first time in our history as a church we've ever had two pastors focused in this area. And since Jay just got ordained, we had a lot of change happen in a short period of time, really, in this last fall. It's kind of a big deal for us. So one of my primary jobs jumping in here was that we had realized there just is too much for the staff and the size of staff that we had to be able to pull off at the same time. We launched a service. We have hundreds of people coming. And to try and do all the things that we want to try and do well as a church, it just wasn't feasible for the size of team that we had. So that was part of the decision and the rationale for making that decision, shifting me over. And so it's allowed Jay and I and our city staff team to kind of parse ourselves out a little bit differently. You know, it's like, I don't know if you like playing volleyball. The game's supposed to be played with what, six? Someone help me. Yeah. I don't know why I picked volleyball. I should have picked something I like hockey. It's just that in hockey, we always play with a full team, so I don't know what it's like when you don't do that, so... Volleyball, though, I played a lot of volleyball games with less than six people, and so you're always like, you know, I have three, and you're like, the person comes in, you're like, great, you take it, and then you reshift your locations, right, and then two moves to four, and everybody moves around, and so that's what we've done essentially this last semester with our own roles, and so it's allowed me to focus a lot of my time toward our groups in general. So just to give you guys an overview, this is, our groups are a little complicated, our structure's a little complicated. Really, it's just small groups and a bunch of different forms and facets, but this is what we have in place right now in the city. We have home groups, which for the most part are married couples, some exceptions for singles. All are welcome. It just happens to be the way that they typically shake out. They tend to be groups of about 18 people, sometimes 20. That's adults, not including kids. I'm going to share a little bit about Acts 2:42 here in a little bit as well, so we'll save the rest of those pieces. And then phase two... Is our ministry really dedicated to the life and the phase that people go through just after college? And it's a wide range of people, ranging from folks who are working on their PhD to people who never went to college, people that are married, people that are not married, people that are just about to leave, people that plan to stay forever and ever. It's just a huge, diverse population of folks, and it's, I think, an area that churches have traditionally struggled to do well with. And so we've really tried to focus there. And I think we've seen a lot of really good success and fruit. But that represents a large area when we think about city small groups. There's a lot of people in that area of phase two, both in terms of attending our phase two New Life teams. We have two gatherings right now. There's a Thursday night gathering, a Sunday night gathering, and then there's a bunch of men's and women's groups that happen in phase two as well. And that brings us to discipleship groups. So outside of the home groups and outside of the phase two teams, and particularly in association with both of those populations, groups of men and women get together as well. So this is what I mean by small groups in total, all these kinds of groups. With me so far? Sweet. Okay. Let's do this. Let's go to Acts. No, not yet. I'm not going to do that yet. Okay. I know. I just... Sorry, internal joke I want to share with Jay later on. Okay, so while I've got the mic here this morning, I want to do three things. I want to tell you where we've been, where we are right now, as best we can assess it, where we'd like to go with regard to our small groups. And I guess there's really four things, because I want to impress upon you the idea that you can make a tangible difference. each of you. It doesn't matter if you're leading a group or not, participating in some way, shape, or form, I think you can make a difference. And so I want to share that with you too. When I came in September, we had the typical situation that we do, which is a massive influx of people. Just started coming to New Life Church, looking for a place. And at that time, I don't even know if I can put, Sarah Marie, are you? Where'd you go? I don't know if we can put a number on how many people we were trying to follow up in phase two. I tried to research that this morning, but I just didn't know quite how. A lot. Yeah, and we're talking like 40, 50, maybe 60 people we're trying to follow up with through comment cards or relational invites or something along those lines. And then for our home groups, we had 30 people that were on our wait list in September that wanted to be a part of a home group but we didn't have space for, which is awesome in the sense of having that many people that want to be a part of a group, very not awesome in the sense of not having space for them. So one of my primary goals this fall was to try and rectify that situation and put us in a position where everybody that wants to be in a group can be in a group. So it was actually an awesome semester for us because by the time we got to December, we had no more wait list, at least on the home group side of things. And the way things play out in phase two is a little bit different because we can invite people to a whole team. So there aren't just that limitation of is there group space. We have a little more flexibility there. But really, we didn't have anybody on any wait list by the time we ended up with December 2015, which is awesome. Puts us in a much better place. Right now we have 13 home groups that are meeting actively. We have, I think, about 25 discipleship groups that meet right now. And that's encompassing about 150, 180 people that are coming regularly to one of those groups, which is pretty awesome, actually. As a church, one of our passions, one of our hopes, is that we would be a church that, what else do I need to tell you? I need to back up a couple steps. The way we do church is a little bit unique sometimes. A lot of other churches do small groups, but the weight and the emphasis that we put on small groups is a little bit different. We have three pillars that we base our ministry model on for New Life Church. And one is the service, the Sunday service itself, which is pretty traditional. Most churches do that. Another one is small groups, and another one is leadership development. And leadership development really supports the other two. But for us, for a person to come into New Life Church, we don't know how that person's really going to get the full experience of church if they're not involved both with the Sunday service and with the small group. It's really designed that a person would be part of both. That's our hope. And so we really want to see 100% of the people that come to church have the opportunity to be involved in the small group and regularly participate and really actually have an awesome experience in it. That's our goal. Is it realistic? No. But in parentheses, it's possible. All things are possible with God. The skeptic in me says no. The optimist in me says yes. I'm going to stick with the optimist for the most part in terms of goal setting. So we have about 300 people that come to church on a Sunday, on a given Sunday. 75 are kids, 225 adults, and in our 929 service, which means right now, for the most part, we have most of them partaking in a small group in some way, shape, or form. Not all. Sometimes it just doesn't work out with a person's schedule. Sometimes they have no interest in a small group. Who knows what it is? But we want to be in a position where we provide that. So looking forward, I would like us to be in a spot where we have the capacity in our small group system such that a person comes on a Sunday and we can meet them, get to know them, invite them, and by Thursday night, they're coming to a small group, or maybe the next week they come. We're not in a position to do that right now. We have some of our systems in place, but really the piece we don't have is our capacity is not there. Right now, we're just at that threshold of what we can do. What happened to erase that waiting list essentially is two things. We started new groups, a few new groups, and then our existing leaders stretched their capacity. When I called them and said, hey, can you fit another person in? They said, yes, we can do that. And then I called again in some cases and said, can you fit another person in? And they said, yes. And so that's how we got through that wait list piece. But at this stage in the game, we could really use to be in a situation where we have more groups fielded. So I am constantly on the lookout. And if you see me looking at you, I am looking at you. Because I'm looking at everybody. Not to pressure you, but to give you an opportunity. If you would like to lead, if you'd like to be a part of supporting a group in some way, shape, or form, even if it's not a leader role, but maybe a host role or facilitating or something like that, I would love to connect with you because our heart is that we would have an opportunity to provide everybody with that community. Let's almost there. I really want to get to Acts 2:42. I just have a couple more things I want to get through first, okay? Church, traditionally for us, the way we view church is not a building. It was a lot easier in the old days when we didn't have a building. We just didn't think of church that way. But now we do have a really nice facility, honestly. Parking is our only sort of envy, and God takes care of that most Sundays, so that's okay. But church is really about people. It's really about people. It's always been about people. And that's our heart, is that we want to provide a place where people can experience friendship and connection and support. And if you think about it, I don't know if this is your experience, but for me, the people I know best in the church, I know best because I was in a small group with them at some point in time. And I've been in a lot of small groups over the years. And those are the people that I connect with most deeply. Those are the platforms and the opportunities we have. Lots of times for people, that's what they think of when they think of church. That's their experience. Those are the relationships that they experience. And the service is vitally important, and all the other things that we do, our serving roles and all those things. But when it comes to your sort of personal connection to the church, the small groups are huge. It really can be. There's a tremendous opportunity there. Okay, now let's go to Acts 2:42. I think we have that on the slide, right? JD, are you doing that with your phone? Acts 2:42. They devoted them. That's really cool, by the way, right? Isn't that cool? I would never attempt to do that with my phone. I have other things I wouldn't attempt to do with my phone. I'll share them later, maybe at some point in a one-on-one setting. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. These verses, here's the background. These verses are some of the core verses of what we think of in terms of how we want to do church, the experience we want people to have when they experience New Life Church and to be part of who we are. So some of these things happen in a Sunday service. Some of these things happen in a small group. Some of them happen in both. Some ways our Sunday services are better suited for these things. Other times our small groups are better suited for these things. But the idea that we would cover teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer, really the overall concept of worship of God, that's what we want to try and achieve with the combination of those two pillars on our ministry model. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We want our church experience to be like that. We want people to have that kind of community, that kind of body of Christ experience. There are a number of one another verses in Scripture. I don't know if you guys have ever heard somebody teach on that, all the one another passages in Scripture. That's the kind of community we want to be. Our vision is that we would be a community that loves the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, and all our strength. And that we love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the kind of community we want to be. It's John 13:35. He says it, your love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's how they see it. It's how the world gets to experience it. One of the core passages, one of the areas that one of those one another verses are most centered is this idea that we see in Ephesians 4, and Jay talked about some of this already. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each of us, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who ascended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his body for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole nature, whole measure of the fullness of God, of Christ. Sorry, I'm comparing too many versions in my head when I'm reading it at the same time. We are the body of Christ, and this thing just doesn't happen without everybody in play. You know this, and you've heard this traditionally, that you know church is just not about the staff and the leaders. It's just not feasible for a church to function the way it's supposed to function. Every one of us needs to be involved. Every one of us needs to own it. and engaged in the ways that God has uniquely made us to engage. Some of us, that's on stage. Some of us, it's never going to be on stage. And that's okay. That's the way God designed it. But one of the things we wanted to impress upon you guys in the summit time is that this church is you. It's not us, the staff. It's all of us together. And it doesn't happen without you. We have right now, like I said, 13 home groups, 25 discipleship groups. Jay and I, even if we stopped teaching on Sunday, couldn't cover that role. Throw in Sarah Marie and Chris and Amanda and our whole team. And yeah, I was looking for him. Craig, there you go. I missed somebody? No, good, okay. Ah, sleep, so key. It's so key to the functioning of a human mind. That's another factor for another time. We just can't do it. It's not the way it works. And that isn't how God has shaped and made all of us. I like leading small groups, like leading home groups. I'd give it a good try. I can get a few in there. But for the sake of our marriage, I don't think I can do more than I'm doing right now. And honestly, I barely make it to our own home group like 50% of the time. It's not where my role is focused. I'd love to be there more. It's just not my job right now. But the role that you guys do and the role that you play, both supporting and in leading our teams, is absolutely instrumental. We just wouldn't have the kind of church that we have. And what I'm trying to do is paint the picture that church is more than just this formal service that we put on Sunday. It's as much that as it is the small group experience. And when you lead a small group, when you participate in a small group, you help church be. You help the body of Christ be successful and grow and be healthy. And so the role you play is absolutely, absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. Your contribution, whether it's as a leader, as a participant, it just doesn't happen without you. And if you heard what Jay was saying, you're doing a great job. God is doing things here. He's working through all of you, and it's exciting for us to see. One more verse. Matthew 22:34-40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again, speaking of Jesus. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question, which, as you've learned from the New Testament, never a good idea. The person who created all things. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Entire law and all the commands of the prophets are based on these two commands. It is our vision. Start with it and end with it. This is what we want to be. And this is who you are as you live out your lives. And we want to encourage you. We want to envision you. We want to equip you to be better and better in these areas. To love God with a greater percentage of your heart, a greater sense of lordship, to love the people around you with more compassion, even if that's even possible for some of you. We want to extend that, not because of some pressing desire to be the biggest and best church in the world, but because we have a God who loves us, who's put that on us and given us the tremendous opportunity to partake in the mission he has to bring his kingdom to the entire world, to the ends of the earth. It's what we want to do. How do we get better? Where do we go from here? If we're going to just grow as a church and maintain health, we can use more teams, more leaders. If we want to try and establish a second service at an offsite location, we need more teams and more leaders. So the math equation isn't too hard. It's just a question of how we get there. Right now, there are three methods that we've used to try and multiply groups. And I'm open to more if you have them. Whether God spoke to you in a dream or you saw it in another church or in any form or shape or method, I'm open to it. But there's three things essentially that we're doing right now that have worked at least in some way, shape, or form. One is that new leaders just come to us and say, hey, we want to lead. Or we find somebody and say, hey, I think you could lead. And they say yes. That's pretty clean in the sense that they don't necessarily have existing commitments and we don't have to move them from places. There's training involved, but that's a method. Another method is that our larger teams have the capacity, typically in terms of leadership, to multiply into multiple teams. So an 18 or 20 person group often has enough leadership capacity in it to multiply into two different groups. So that's an opportunity too, although the challenge there is pretty dramatic when it comes to relationships. We've wrestled with that one. Have been wrestling with that one, and one group in particular just this last semester, trying to figure out, is there a way we can pull this off? The difficulty is, as you know, hopefully from your own experience, once you're involved in the small group, you love those people. You love being around them. They've poured themselves into your life. You've poured yourself into their life. And so parting company with half of them is a rough gig relationally. So there's a challenge to that model. And that's always kind of been the traditional model, right? We grow a group, we multiply, grow a group, we multiply, grow a group, and multiply. But there's a lot of pain involved with that. God at times may be calling us to that, but it has its downside and its challenge. But it can work. So if you grow two groups from one, you have two groups now, and you've got capacity in both, and you have more leaders, so you're getting more opportunities to get trained and things like that. So it is a viable method, although a difficult one, and not universally applicable for all. Another thing that's new, I think this is Jay's idea. I'll give him credit for it, and he can maybe not take it if it's not true, but someone, probably Jay, came up with the idea that that we could have folks who are in existing groups step out of their existing group for a period of time to lead another one for a fixed period of time, like 6 months or 8 months, long enough to engage a new group of people and hopefully raise up a new set of leaders for that group. And then the original folks that sort of planted that group, if you will, would go back to the original community that they're in. For some of us, some of you guys here are probably going to be here for just a couple years. Some of you, though, have been here for 20. And those of you who are here for the long run, you're not really looking to change your relationships wholesale every semester. You're looking for some stability, some consistency, some longevity. And so for those of you who have been with us for a while, that method of planning new groups might be the most feasible. You don't leave your original community necessarily except for a period of time, and your community knows that you're doing that and they can support you in it. And then you go. And we've been doing that, and that seems to be working thus far. Long run, we'll see how that goes. But that is how, those three methods of how we've been expanding our groups, probably how we'll continue to expand groups moving forward. Guys with me so far? That was a lot. Between all that content of Jay's and the announcements and that, it's a lot of stuff. So any questions you guys have at this stage? Go for it. Two things. One is just our general desire to reach the ends of the earth. So if we're looking at a community like Scarlet and we see just tremendous potential, it's exciting for us as leaders to think, well, what would it be like if we could engage a community like that and see people one to Christ, transformed in their relationship with them and grow closer to them by planting a site there. That's just, as church leaders, just a desire that we universally have. It never really goes away. Practically speaking, in our local context here, we are close to capacity on a couple of key critical areas. One is New Life Kids. Right now we have about 65 to the lower 70s in terms of number of kids that come on a given Sunday. That represents a percentage of how many kids could actually come on a given Sunday. Amanda, do you know what that number is off the top of your head? It's like 120 or 130? 130. In terms of the families that we know of that are with us, not just that have come like once in the last semester, but like are actually with us on a regular basis, if everybody brought their kids and came every given Sunday, we'd have close to 130 kids, which we cannot do right now in our facility space. So to even have new families come at this stage in the game with one service in play, we're pretty close to the cap there. Parking is another limiter for us. Seats in the auditorium isn't as much of a limiter, but it would be after a certain point. But we'll hit those other two limits first, most likely. So right now, I think we have the capacity to expand some and grow some, but we're getting close to our ceiling. And so as leaders, when we start to get close to the ceiling, we start to think about what's next so we don't break our necks, so to speak. We really care for everybody and want everybody that comes through the door to have a good experience. And so we're trying to think through how does that look? Where's God leading us? Sometimes those limitations are God saying to us, I need you to think differently or bigger or something along those lines. We're still not sure we're still wrestling with some of those things, still engaging our co-pastors and trying to figure out, is this the right move? Is this the right next step? What would it look like? As far as we've talked it through as our city team, it seems like a really intriguing idea that we're pursuing as best we can. Committed to? Do we know how, when? Not yet. It's a good question. Any other questions on anything? I'll answer all the ones for Jay, too, if need be. If I know people like I know you guys, it's a different story because we know your experience. Some, you're not necessarily asking that question, but I'm just gonna say that. The question is, correct me if I get this wrong. How likely is it for someone who's new to their church to be able to play a role from a leadership standpoint? That seem accurate? Yeah, I'm personally in my role, I'm somewhat conservative. I've dealt with a lot of challenges in terms of people in leadership roles if they don't have the character that matches the demands of that role. So I'm a little more cautious. But typically either people I know directly or if I know via reputation, or I don't know, sometimes after like there's one couple I can think of, young couple, they just started coming to the church. But the instant I met them, I was like, we really probably ought to talk about whether or not they can lead here. They're just those kinds of people. You can just tell based on their background how long they've been walking with God. So it's just variable. It just depends on their situation. It's definitely something I'm on the lookout for every time I have a conversation with somebody. It's just the nature of my job, just trying to figure out where can this person serve. I'm also trying to figure out where's the next, as a pastor, what's the next best step for this person? How can I move them? What's God doing in their life right now? So some of it's, we could use more leaders. Some of it's to serve the people we have right now, pushing them and helping them to see what God's doing in their life and whatever that next step is, regardless of what it is, whether it's even moving away to a different church maybe or starting some other ministry that doesn't benefit our numbers, that's still maybe the right direction. And so those are the kinds of things we're thinking through. So how likely? I mean, we're certainly open to it, and we see those needs. So we're looking. And lots of times God brings us leaders from the outside, so to speak. I mean, that's a lot of our folks that we currently have serving came in that way. Any other questions? Sweet. Did I have any other content I needed to cover? Let's check the old iPad. The last thing I wanted to share with you guys or really ask of you is that if you do have questions or concerns, particularly if you're leading a group right now, if you feel like in a situation where you don't have the care that you need or the direction you need or the training or the equipping, we want to hear about it, even if it's a lapse on our own personal work, even if it's, Joel, you're not coaching me that well. Maybe you could go to Jay and have that conversation, but you can try with me first. We want to know. We want to know if there are gaps in our current coverage, so to speak, right now. One of the things that, one of my goals working toward here in this next semester is to establish a coaching system for our groups, because right now we have that 13 plus 25 set, and the coaches, generally speaking right now, are myself and Sarah Marie and Craig and Amanda, and then Stevie Watson was coaching some this last semester graciously on our request too. What I'd like to do is get more coaches in the midst there and then spend my time working with more directly with the coaches rather than trying to coach every group individually. If you remember that story from the Old Testament where Moses' father-in-law comes up to him and says, you can't adjudicate all the problems of Israel by yourself. You need to appoint judges. And that's the paradigm we're at here. If we're going to continue to expand, even the capacity and the size we're at right now, our staff can't be coaching all the groups. So I'm trying to, and I've engaged even some of you on the idea of, would you be willing to coach a group or two or three, and then we can work with the coaches to make sure all of our groups have coverage. And really, one of the key hopes there is that you would have a constant connection to the leadership and the pastors in particular if you have issues or concerns or need help. We can help with the resources in the group. We can help with the how do you do the group, how do you do the dynamics of this or that. If there's areas you feel like you could use more equipping in, what content are you going to cover next? How do we structure the group? We're thinking about multiplying, but how do we do it best? Here are the ideas we have. Anything you can think of, we want to be able to cover those things with you, make you feel and actually be supported as best you could possibly be. So that's our hope. So that coaching system, I don't know how long it'll take to get up in place. I've had yeses from a few people already. So for some of you guys, it'll change your coaching dynamics a bit. Some of you, if you're a leading group, don't have really a regular coach yet and would get one theoretically. So that's a hope that we have there too. So just wanted to pass that along to you guys. We're constantly trying to work and change and improve, really all for the sake of caring for people well, loving people well. So thanks for listening to all that. I do want to personally thank you for coming this morning. I know we have more content yet. That's not a close. I guess you could stand up and leave. We'd prefer you wouldn't. But it is really awesome to see on a Saturday morning so many of you coming out and being here. And this City Summit is really a platform for us to express content to you directly that it's a little bit tough for us to do one-on-one. It takes a little while when you're talking about 180 people or something along those lines in our small group system. So thank you so much for coming.